Technorama episode 453, the best of Oktoberfest.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I think I saw a UFO. It was headed in this direction. Did you see where it went?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelt and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
This just in from the news desk on my Pebble watch. Donna is safe at her mom's.
That was a perfect tag to that opening that you so missed out on.
Oh, what did I miss? Enlighten me, oh wise
one.
Well,
you know, after the voice is over there in the media corner, he says, oh, well, I guess that's better than heading over to Uranus. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Make sure to tip your waiter.
Tip your server and make sure you have a backup first.
Yeah, be sure to try the steak.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things inner geek. If this is your first time listening or watching Technorama, thank you very much for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm actually rolling my eyes because I think I heard every one of those jokes like five times.
During your scouting weekend?
Do what?
During your scouting weekend with the 12-year-olds?
Yes, probably them too, yes.
These are common 14-year-old jokes, I guess.
Yeah, well, what does that say about us? That we're just a bunch of 14-year-old boys.
Well, that's right. Trapped in grown men's bodies.
Yes. That is podcasting.
Yeah. 15 years is about the age level you get to. That's about it.
Also joining us in the sunny Phoenix Binary Studio is...
Ben Raginton.
I'm Michael Armendinge.
I'm Michael Armendinge.
He's alive this weekend.
He's alive. Oh, I'm going through the chains.
He's 15 years old, so he's going through puberty.
I'm 15.
Yeah.
Going through puberty. With that, sir.
Okay, one of them is 14-year-old.
Yeah. And then I'm over here in the corner. Can you see me? Can you see me now?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
All right.
No, I can't see a thing.
All right. That was the worst roll call ever.
Yeah. Let's do it again. I bet we can do worse.
Let's get right into the show then. Coming up in this episode, we have chicken tweets, which sounds a bit redundant, imperial statues, and worst geek Halloween costume ever. All that and more complete nonsense coming up. Did you ever wonder why early space shuttles had a white external fuel tank and then the later ones did not?
I have no idea. Seriously. Not a clue.
Mm-hmm. Because once they filled that tank, they didn't want rays and things interfering. That's the technical term.
Rays and things.
Wow.
Thank you, Professor Tomasi.
Raisin bread, raisin muffins, raisin things.
Wow.
For it's raisin things, it's grapes and things.
Wait. Californium raisins.
Hey! Californium raisin things.
Through the grapevine.
We've broken the show again.
This is Steve Wozniak. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
You know, I don't know that I've ever been the butt of a joke and laughed so hard at anything repeatedly than that raisin things from last week.
Raisin things.
It's not going away anytime soon.
And you have to say it right.
I see a t-shirt coming.
Things. It's very important to say it properly. Yeah. It's got to be raisin things. You got to have a twang on there.
Yeah, raisin things.
Yeah, I see a t-shirt coming.
Yeah, I do too.
Hey, I'm a capitalist slob. I'll take it.
Letters.
Letters.
Oh, yeah.
Letters.
Every day.
Again?
Mail.
We shot the mailman.
My dog phone
yesterday.
Our question last week was, what was the worst sci-fi novel you have ever read? And did we answer this one in the studio?
No,
we held on to our answers.
Yeah.
Okay. Ben, would you like to start us off?
Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth was a movie before, I mean, it was a book before it was a movie.
I don't know which came first. I think it was a book before it became a movie. And it was just as hatefully bad. You know, just, but, well, let's face it. L. Ron Hubbard was never a really good science fiction writer.
That was actually mine, was Ron L. Hubbard, the Villian Victorious series. Yeah. Ugh, that was pretty bad. That was bad. That was mine.
Keith, you have one?
No, I don't.
Not even like Archie Comics?
I can't think of anything. I read everything, and it was, you know, if it wasn't good, I just tossed it away and forgot about it.
Okay. Craig, do you have an awful novel that you remember?
Yeah, what was, I still can't remember the name of it. It was the first William Shatner ghost-written book that where Kirk came back.
Oh,
it was a zombie?
Oh, yes, you were talking about that last
year. Yeah, we were talking about
that zombie. First one was okay, but the rest of the series was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember the name of it. I don't remember. I have to look it up here.
We have responses from this on the interwebs. Wayne says, Star Wars Millennium Falcon, Owner's Workshop Manual, had no plot whatsoever.
I wasn't supposed to.
It's a workshop manual.
It's a technical manual.
It's like, okay, in that context, the Star Trek, the
compendium?
The Star Trek technical book was manual. Just terrible. Yeah, the tech manual
was
horrible.
He's doing it wrong.
That's right.
Yeah, the Star Trek blueprints, man, I'm telling you,
no they're sense. Just blue and white.
Listener John says, Faster Than the Speed of Love by Brian Griffin.
Oh, good God.
That I don't know that
more
one.
Like a porn movie. Yeah. And Justin says, I'm actually having a hard time remembering any. If a book is so bad I put it down, I just tend to forget about it unless I somehow pick it back up down the road.
Yeah, I have one I can throw in there, and that is The Dispossessed. That was Ursula K. Le Guin.
Okay.
Which I know she's a good writer, but there was something about that book just did not do it for me. I could not get into it. It was just boring. Just boring.
Yawn.
Got halfway through and is like, I don't care anymore. Everybody can die. It'll be fine.
The kind of book you pick up when you want to go to sleep, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Thank you, listeners. We will have another question at the end of this show, and I will put it out on Facebook and Twitter if you want to hear about that. We would love to hear your response. Be part of the show.
Wait a minute, Chuck, you didn't give yours.
I'm kind of like Justin. I tend to not remember the really bad ones. For some reason, I just don't recall a really bad. I have lots that take forever to read.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that'll be a future question. What was the longest dang novel how long did it ever take you to finish a novel? Because there's some you pick up and then you put down, and you pick up 3 years later and you put it down and you pick up 3 years later.
Man, that Haynes Guide to the Space Shuttle sucks.
Haynes Guide. Let's do the history thing. This will be fun. On this day in history for October 28th, 2015, we know this is your favorite part of the show because we can't get any names right.
Exactly.
This is the 301st, not the 501st, but the 301st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 64, or 2 to the 6, days remaining in 2015. See how fast I do that binary math?
Nice.
I'm impressed.
It was on this date in 1492. Not. Hey, what comes in 1492, Christopher Columbus. He discovered Cuba on his first voyage to the New World.
And go for it, same Trey. Date in 15, huh?
Go for it.
That same date in 1538, the University of the New World, the Universidad Santo Tomas de Aquino, is established.
Oh, boy. Wow, that was actually fairly close.
Not too bad.
All right, they get better.
In your face,
it
Chuck.
Was 379 years ago today that a vote of the Great and General Court of the Massachusetts Bay Colony establishes the first college in what would become the United States.
today known as Harvard University.
I'm glad you said it that way.
Harvard.
Also today in 1664, the Duke of York and Albany's Maritime Regiment of Foot, wow, later to be known as the Royal Marines, is established.
I don't know why I left that one in there.
They sound like
Albany's Albany's Maritime Regiment of Foot.
Hey, that sounds like something from the Ninja Turtles.
It is so proper English.
The Regiment of Foot.
The Regiment of Foot, yes. We need some tea.
The game is afoot.
It is afoot. And it's a regiment.
Game. I don't have a script.
Oh, you don't
have a script. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go.
I can make something up.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. Actually, yesterday is John Cleese's birthday, 75.
Hey, there you go.
I saw him at our conference this spring.
On the actual day that Holy Grail is 40th anniversary release.
Yay! The first railroad in Spain between Barcelona and Mataró is opened 167 years ago today.
And in New York Harbor, President Grover Cleveland dedicates the Statue of Liberty 129 years ago.
Also today in 1929, Black Monday, a day in the Wall Street crash of 1929, which also saw major stock market upheaval. Dive, everybody, dive!
That same date in 1942, the Alaska Highway.
Okay. Tough to make a highway from Alaska to Hawaii.
I can see Russia.
The
from
Alaska
there.
To Hawaii. Well, the Alaska to Russia highway was created,
also known as the Denali Kilauea.
Nice.
Anyway, the Alcan Highway is completed through Canada to Fairbanks, Alaska.
Okay.
Damn. That was good. That was actually a better story the other way.
Yeah. It was 67 years ago today that Swiss chemist Paul Müller was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine, we're not sure which, I guess, for his discovery in the insecticidal properties of my favorite, DDT.
Nice. Wasn't he in this day in history?
Yeah.
No, different Mueller.
There was a Mueller. Yeah, there was Mueller.
He was the father.
Mueller.
Mueller.
Britain launches the satellite Prospero into low Earth orbit.
Ben just wants to do them all today.
A Black Arrow carrier rocket, the only British satellite to date launched by a British rocket on this date in 1971.
So the Brits have never launched a British satellite on a British rocket since then, or ever.
No. Wow.
Craig's turn now.
Craig's turn.
Is it my turn?
Oh, I jumped him. Sorry.
Yeah, you did.
It's okay. That's all right.
I gave you an easy one.
We're getting frog leap here. NASA successfully launches the Ares 1X mission, the only rocket launch for its later canceled Constellation program 6 years ago today.
Was it the 1X, the 9, or the
I-10? I think it was the I-10, actually.
Who cares?
We're just screwing with you, Craig.
Hey, it's off the 101 right out here.
Happy birthday. Today it goes out on this day to French mathematician. This is where it gets fun. Antoine de Parceau, born on this date in 1703.
All right, go ahead, Ben.
No. Yeah, go for it, Ben.
Jiminy gods. All right. Born on the same date in 1718, the Croatian priest, mathematician, astronomer, and explorer.
Wow, you did a great job on that, Ben. Thanks.
Beautiful.
Mike. Also born today in 1793, the founder of Remington Arms, Eliphalet Remington.
I wasn't sure if that was alphabet or elephant.
Elephante. Like whatever.
Way you read it though.
Craig, go ahead.
Okay, October 28th, 1880 also the birthday of Belarusian Estonian. No, what?
Oh, Belarusian Estonian.
Yeah, Belarusian Estonian astrophysicist and astronomer Wilhelm Anderson.
Oh, very nice. The co-founder of Microsoft. I'll take this one.
Really? That's why you did that, isn't it?
Bill Gates, really?
Bill Gates. When I write these, I have no idea how many people are showing up, so this is a random crapshoot.
That Bill Gattati's guy, yes, I really like him.
Yeah. Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
Who's next?
I don't know.
Let's get back in line here.
Craig.
Oh, okay. Where am I at?
Turning 55.
Turning 55 today. Landon Kurt Knoll, American computer scientist and mathematician.
Princess Vespa from Spaceballs, actress Daphne's
Zendaya,
is 53.
Vespa.
Another actress, producer, Julia Roberts, is 48.
Julia Roberts.
And finally, also turning 48, is the video game designer and co-founder of id Software, John Romero. And that's the way it was after the song is all done.
And the band beat us.
That's tough to do. Wow. I need to make another extended version.
No, you really
and
don't.
A whole other coda to the music.
No, no. If we're out of music here, we really need to just wrap it the hell up.
Impending news, everyone.
All right, we have some good news from Facebook for once.
No, everybody really?
Everybody bags on Facebook, but they actually have a site that helps you start your programming career.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Facebook knows that it can't hire a more diverse workforce unless there's a broader interest in computer science. And it just launched a website to help that happen. TechPrep provides resources to learners and parents who are curious. Sounds kind of weird. Are you computer curious? It's okay to be computer curious.
It's okay.
There's a new sexual orientation on Facebook for the profile.
Guess what?
Yeah, but just on computer curious.
Yeah, but be careful with the mouse and with your hand because you don't want hair to grow on it.
Your mouse could go blind.
I'm going blind. I'm computer curious.
But if you don't know where to start, this could help. It suggests services and gadgets based on your age, skill, and what you're looking for. Stop it.
It's not, you're not helping them.
Wait, let's just literally read this with that. Keep that.
Okay.
We talked about 14-year-olds at the top of the show. If you're just a teen, just starting out.
Oh, God.
Getting worse.
You'll be pointed towards a simple programming language like Scratch.
If you've got that itch, you can scratch it.
And later it's Fondle.
Isn't there a programming language called Home Base or something?
Oh, my God.
No, but I'm sure there's one called Caress.
Snuggle.
Snuggle. Yeah.
Oh, Spoon.
And they have more advanced things. But they put together this nice video put by some very... apparently it was posted by Mark Zuckerberg, has about 1,000,000 views.
There's the graphic. Finally.
There's the graphic.
There's the graphic.
Very sensible young men programming, I guess. Looks like he's in the middle of a file save operation.
Yeah.
file save as.
Despite the horrible commentary on our part, this is actually a really cool thing.
I think so, yeah. Too. Yeah. And Craig, you and I have talked about this in the past, about the increased interest in getting people. Who was it? It was one of the major music players, Kanye or who? It was somebody like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. That said,
not Kanye, but
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And he said, look, this is a very opportunity rich environment.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And they said that in this video too. If you want to impact lives, if you want to make a difference in the world, computer science is the way to do it.
Yes.
All you got to do is release an app like, you know, Angry Birds, and oh my gosh, you know, you've impacted.
And the other thing about learning something like that is that there's so much documentation and information online. You can pretty much learn it yourself. But there's a lot of sites like this. I know Google does some, and I'm trying to think of the name of their site, but they have a lot of resources too. There's a lot of resources to learn how to program or just computer science in general.
Get started. Things like Code Academy have, what, about 6 or 8 different languages
That's
on
one of,
there?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And if you go back to what Jay-Z was actually saying, and this was in an interview that he did talking about how unrealistic it was for minorities to basically be looking at sports as their way out. And this is a much more... realistic
like
goal.
Oh, yeah. It's like 1 in 1,000,000 is going to be a sports star.
And this has so much more potential to actually elevate people out of their situations than unrealistic, you know, dreams of being some giant.
Look what it did for me.
Yeah.
Hey, despite our innuendos.
Yes.
Yeah, you too can be a 14-year-old kid
with a scratch.
Yeah,
it's all right. It was funny as hell. We can bring it back serious.
Yeah. All right, real quick look at the birthday calendar since we are talking about programming and some of these people have started their careers in programming. October 28th is Dylan Lakaida. I hope I'm saying that right, from San Antonio. Otherwise, it's going to turn into On This Day in History with the birthday names here. 29th is James Clark from Megapodzilla. The 30th, Wolf Geek from Indiana. We get in November. We have one on November 1st, Amber Elstad. Happy birthday to you. And two on the 3rd, Ken Pace and Ranger Craig. Craig Glasner is a good friend of the listener of the show.
Who I believe has met everybody on the planet because they come through Alcatraz.
Well, he's not on Alcatraz anymore.
Oh, really?
No. He is at Fort Mason, I believe, at the moment.
Hmm.
So he's
he's got pictures with a bunch of celebrities. I don't know if they all came through there or what.
He's like one of those restaurant owners where, you know, Frank Sinatra would come through and Craig gets a picture.
Pictures up on the wall with everybody.
Yeah, kind of. He posts them on Facebook periodically. So very happy to have Ranger Craig as one of our listeners. And the rest of you, happy birthday to you. If it is your birthday and you did not make it on the calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. It drives me nuts when people say /, or even /.
Oh, that makes me insane.
Oh yeah. So we're just going to /, wiki, or if you're British, it'd be stroke wiki. That just sounds like the previous article.
There we go. Yeah, we're going back all the way. There we go. Okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you're British.
Hey, and look, guys, don't stroke his ego.
So that's different than don't slash his ego.
I'm updating my
profile. We need another break. We'll be right back with more stuff. We've got rare Nazi Enigma machines, blood transfusions, and communist leaders that have had their statues transformed. Be right back.
Greetings from TG Geeks Webcast, where
Ben
and Keith, the two gay geeks, talk about all aspects of geekdom and nerdery. Sci-fi, comics, film, horror, genre, you name it, we talk about it.
Find our episodes each week on tggeeks.com.
Visit our Facebook page, TG Geeks Webcast.
On Google+ and YouTube, look for us as Two Gay Geeks. You can tweet at TG Geeks and at the Two Gay Geeks.
Or call our feedback line at 469-TG-GEEKS. That is 469-844-3357. Happy listening. Peace.
Cheers.
The father of the space shuttle, George Miller, dies at age 97.
Wow, 97. Pretty amazing.
If he is considered to be the father of the space shuttle, who is the mother of the space shuttle?
And
what kind of hell did she go through when that thing was passing through the birth canal? You son of a bitch, you did this to me!
Those tiles are like sandpaper.
Wow. Okie dokie.
Then let's just close the show right now.
Sounds good to me.
Pretty sad when I've heard that so many times I can do the lines myself. We had fun last week and we're having more fun this week. We have a shout out to the chat room. I don't know if you've actually...
I don't know.
Okay. Well, if you're in the...
If you're in the chat room,
we'll shout out to you.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I can tell you who's in there. We've got Scott Tyler. Where's Mad Marv?
All right.
Where did the mouse go?
Wait, Scott Tyler, Mad Marv. Scott Tyler, Mad Marv. Scott.
He's scrolling through the chat history.
Mad Marv spelled K-Y-L-E, but pronounced Marv. Because it's Welsh.
It's Welsh.
Welsh. Join us Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern time, or whatever it is in your time zone. We'd love to see you be part of the insanity that is this show. You can make your own commentary, and I believe those end up as comments on the YouTube video, too. So watch out. It could happen to you like it happens to us. Back up. I went to the chat room before I went to the Hacks and Strange Stories.
No.
We're out of order again.
No.
Hacks and Strange Stories coming right up.
We've lost our way.
Okay. Mm. Worst geek Halloween costume ever. It's called the hashtag. This is just
a hashtag.
Spare me. That's awful.
I can make that out of duct tape in like 3 minutes. I don't need to buy it.
A few characters short.
$24.99. Are they on crack?
Yes.
Well, somebody's buying it, obviously.
Crying out loud.
It comes with adjustable straps.
Hashtag dumbass.
Cardboard and some duct tape, and you have that costume for like free from Amazon.
Amazon box.
An Amazon box. That's all you need.
No, see, I like how on the package it has awesome costume. Hashtag media.
Now, I was inspired by this to say if you were lack of costume this year, that you should just take a regular t-shirt and a magic marker and write on hashtag costume.
Yes.
Be done.
The words.
Yeah, right. That's it. And that would be it. I think that would be an uber nerd.
Well, you could Twitter hashtag costume and see a whole bunch of really awesome costumes. This is what I'm wearing is hashtag costume. I'm wearing all of them.
I'm just a reference.
Reference. You could also have a Pinterest link on there if you want to.
Imager.
Maybe Instagram, maybe, you know.
Tinder.
Yeah.
Oh, Tinder.
Oh, my God.
I send you this picture and you can basically do whatever you want to me.
Oh, boy.
That could be dangerous.
Do not dress up as that costume. Also in the odd and obscure department, we have an Australian chicken restaurant has an actual chicken handling its Twitter account.
No.
Until they have to cook him.
Would anybody like to read this instead of me this time?
Go ahead, Ben. Right. I couldn't make it through with a straight face.
That's not the point.
Okay, so I'll make it through with a gay face.
Thank you
very much. An Australian takeaway place is trying to win a Guinness World Record by having their mascot, Betty, become the first chicken to ever send a readable tweet. The marketing campaign is a lot like shooting in the dark. They're letting Betty peck away randomly at a keyboard, hoping that she will accidentally tweet something meaningful by the end of October.
This gives a whole new meaning to hunt and peck, doesn't it?
Oh, my God.
I thought we were talking about the 14-year-olds earlier. I know.
With their peckers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perth Marketing Agency Market Force.
I'll save work tag on this now.
Yeah. Perth Marketing Agency Market Force came up with the idea for their client chicken treat, who operate over 70 franchises in Western Australia. Betty will be tweeting away until she sends a proper five-letter word in English. The promotional video states, follow as much as she makes history at the chicken tweet Twitter page.
That's pretty good Australian accent. Wow.
According to the independent brand analyst Michael Hogan. Or was it Michael?
Michael Hogan.
Yeah, really. It's great that a company is using humor in its marketing. This isn't a new idea by any means, but I can see it working depending on where they go with it and how they do it. She said, Michelle.
Sure.
Now, she like said, she also added that smaller chains need such stunts and tricks to grab eyeballs in an industry that is dominated by larger corporations.
I think we've all been victim to our cats walking on our keyboard at some point.
Oh, yeah. More than once. Right. Hey.
The problem is, what's fun here, though, what's really fun here, though, is let the chicken peck away for, you know, a few weeks and get enough followers to, you know, check on it occasionally, and then go back in there and somebody jump in and help me, save me.
I'm being slaughtered.
They're mistreating me. You know, start throwing real words out that just
Google translate the chicken and you find out
warning
exactly. Google translate, would you like to translate English to chicken to Spanish, Mandarin chicken,
Mandarin chicken. With rice.
Hey, the poor things, they're actually promoting a chicken restaurant. That's like opposite of the cows doing the Chick-fil-A,
right? Exactly.
Poor chicken.
That's so wrong.
I'm waiting for the animal activists to get involved.
PETA.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Remember when? I love this song. All right. And remember when we have a rare Enigma machine. I think we're all familiar with the Enigma machine, the German encoder. Yes. This
Aren't
is
they
a rare
all
one.
Rare at this point?
No. This one's even rarer than rare. It's still mooing.
Oh, they got a typo. Oh, chickens can use it.
No to the graphic.
It's a chicken enigma.
Chicken enigma. That's what chicken. The chicken is pecking on enigma machine.
There it is.
Which came first, the chicken or the enigma?
Chicken enigma.
We have very strange segues in this show.
The Nazis over in Brazil are trying to figure out what this thing is. What kind of code's being transmitted?
It says cluck 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 cluck.
Odd. You think it was hard translating Navajo?
Try chicken scratch.
Try the chicken enigma.
There's a chicken enigma.
New for your cold world country.
I can't do any news on this show anymore.
Next. Okay. Anyway, this is a cool story about the enigma. I'll bring it back for you, Chuck.
This is a four-wheel enigma, not the three-wheel. This is the model M4. Yeah, it's got wheels and things.
Wheels and things.
An exceptionally rare and fully functional Nazi Enigma M4 enciphering machine used during the Second World War has sold for a whopping $365,000, setting a new world record at auction. The item sold yesterday at Bonham's, quote, Conflicts of the 20th Century, unquote, event, where an unnamed private collector at $365,000, it's the single largest sum ever doled out for an Enigma machine. Mm. Yippee.
It was sold to a chicken franchise in Australia.
See, that's where, there it is.
For tweeting. There it is, for tweeting.
Yes. Yeah. The M4, so named for its four rotors, represents the scarcest of the German Enigma machines manufactured during the latter stages of the war. Only 150 still remain in existence from the 1,500 ever built. The M4 Enigma machines were used exclusively on naval submarines back in 1941, after rightfully suspecting that the three-rotor Enigma had been compromised following the capture of U-570 in August. Mm-hmm. German Admiral Karl Dönitz ordered the construction of the four-rotor machine, which added the extra 26. I mean, it's a magnitude of complexity harder to decode.
Insane, yeah.
This would have sent the boys at Fletchley Park back to square one.
Yes.
So,
you know, I imagine
video.
If they had to make a seismic shift like that, it would be hard to get... to just start producing new ones. They had like a fourth and a third.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that it was still compatible with the three. Because you could always, because you could always drop the fourth and still transmit.
Is this DOS compatible?
It is DOS compatible. It still has a 64K kernel in it.
Other old stuff we have is Henry Ford's first car. Oh, let's get past this ad. Please don't play ads in my face.
Yes, I don't want an ad.
Yeah. It wasn't there before.
I hate those.
But the first car he made was not the Model T. That was the first mass-produced car. But this was like some rickety old steam engine. If you watch
it's like a go-kart.
I was going to say, is it steam or is it electric?
It's
because electric was huge.
It is a gas-powered one.
Okay.
And it's interesting because these were very unreliable, very underpowered. In the video, he says, you can't get up a hill that even a drunken kitten could get up.
Yeah. That nails it down.
And everything rattles on this because it's just got two pistons shaking back and forth as fast as they can. The tires are shaking and the tiller. It didn't have a steering wheel. It had a tiller. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny because when you take the tiller and you crank it to the right to make a left turn, you basically run into the lever that's controlling your brake and clutch.
Nice.
Your hands kind of collide and you can only turn so sharp. It's
great.
The design is awesome. And there were just times when you'd engage the clutch and it would conk out and not start again.
It looks like it'd be fun to ride, though.
Fun to ride if you could get it started and keep it going. But it was
prototyping at its best.
It really was. I love seeing this. If you want to have some fun, go watch the video. It's only about 5 minutes long. We'll include it in the show notes, usual.
I bet you could make an electric version of this nowadays and actually have it work.
Well, that would be too much fun. I mean, half the fun back then was the unreliability.
Fun! You're out in the middle of nowhere
in the snow.
Well, wait a minute.
Disney had one of these in the park that he rode around in, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
I think he did.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I guess an electric one would be more like a go kart.
Of course, they had probably fixed it. So
already been invented.
Is anybody else besides me watching The Nick?
Yes.
On Cinemax?
Been
Season
watching
two
it.
Just
Love
started it.
Mm.
And,
The what?
The Nick. K-N-I-C.
It's about the Knickerbocker.
Knickerbocker Hospital in New York.
Yep.
Is that a factual place?
Yes, it is a factual place, and they are doing a pretty good job of keeping it somewhat factual. There's some made-up stuff in order for
drama. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to include a lot of timeline things like Typhoid Mary. I don't know if she was directly related to the Nick, but she was in that time frame.
Yes, she
was
in that.
They're keeping it real.
Yep.
Detecting the different types of blood types. And this article we have is just prior to that, in 1870s, apparently you needed an egg beater for blood transfusions in the 1870s.
Of course.
Okay.
Everybody did.
Now, this gets interesting. Blood donation in the 1800s was not an easy process. Often doctors had to use whatever they had at hand during house calls. And what they had on hand usually was
an egg beater.
Here's how it was used. The earliest transfusions were done in the 1600s, but the practice failed to catch on. This didn't mean that doctors stopped trying. Oh, no. And in the mid-1800s, the procedure underwent a revival. There were two major reasons for this: cholera and childbirth.
Yes.
A lot of women died in childbirth because of blood loss.
Mm-hmm.
Nice sounds. Wow, that was gruesome.
Wrong.
Doctors weren't thinking about the function of blood while they were doing their transfusions. They were thinking of blood as the stuff that brings a person vigor and life.
Right.
I remember they didn't know blood types, so sometimes they got the wrong blood in the wrong person.
That's not good.
Cholera and childbirth seem to sap
blood. That's like putting your milk in your orange juice. It's not going to work.
Your oil in your water. Right. Yeah. Don't put orange juice on your breakfast cereal. It ain't so good.
Why is my blood coagulating?
So doctors infused blood into their patients to restore them in a kind of reverse bloodletting. Cholera patients usually were seen in hospitals or special wards set up in towns or on battlefields. So doctors had equipment on hand to help them through the transfusion process. Women who hemorrhaged during childbirth, however, were almost always in their own homes. That's right.
Yeah, nobody went into a hospital to have a kid.
Not back then they didn't. No. In fact, my dad... was it my dad? My dad was not born at home. Yeah, I think my dad, up until my dad's my youngest brother and sister were twins.
Get him on the phone. Let's find out.
Yeah, no, I should have asked him. He was here a couple weeks ago. Anyway, the transfusion procedure was finicky because blood, when exposed to air, clots up. Yeah, put that in somebody who's half dead already.
So they beat it to
That's
death.
That's right. Clots jammed in the tubes and connecting the donor to the receiver.
That.
Now, they didn't put it like in a bag first. They just, anyway.
Yeah, so, they put it in a bowl.
So doctors discovered a way to get the lumps out like oatmeal. Blood contains a long protein called fibrin, which clumps together. Help me out here, medical guys.
Right.
I don't have a script.
During the clotting process.
During the clotting process. It does this effectively enough that it can separate out of its tangled vigorously enough. This is where the egg beater comes in. Doctors would empty the donor blood into a vessel, bowl, then break out the beater, the whisk, or sometimes even clean bundles of broom straw.
Ooh.
There's no bacteria in there.
Whip the blood until it's a fine
That's
puree.
That's right.
Throw in the sherry.
And the butter.
Garlic butter. This must have come from an Italian.
Add some cholesterol and stir
until it formed large clumps. Once
That's
the
right.
blood was clotted to their satisfaction, the doctors would strain the blood through fine fabric.
Cheesecloth.
And transfuse the liquid into the patient. Sounds like they got most of the plasma out.
That's how they get the blood in there.
The platelets. They took all the platelets out and basically left all the...
Plasma.
It still doesn't fix the problem of dumping, type A positive into an O negative person.
Yeah, I don't
think
they had any sense of compatibility on that at that time.
I mean, it eliminates or reduces the possibility of dying from a blood clot to the brain, I guess. A bit, but...
You could die of...
Still.
What's that called? What is that called when you get the wrong blood type? Is it blood poisoning?
Screwed.
Yeah.
This is where our medical knowledge really falls short.
Yeah, there
you
go.
I could ask
for joining the
Medcast
this week.
I could ask Lisa. Lisa would know.
Dr. Lisa.
Let's get her on the line.
Get her on the Skype.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Skyper. It was scary stuff, and it wasn't that long ago either. And you think, boy, we feel like we're pretty smart about medical technology today. We're not.
I'm really hungry for a creme brulee now.
Creme brulee.
Kidney
creme
pie.
Blood thing.
You know how fortunate we are to be living in this era, though?
Yeah, you know what? 50 years from now, it'll still look like the Dark Ages.
My God, man, drilling holes in his head is not the answer.
Right, exactly.
Stone knives and bearskins.
Like what we were talking about a while back, one of the presidents that got shot, and they were just sticking their fingers in there trying to get it out.
Oh, that was Lincoln. Yeah, they were like probing around in his brain for the bullet.
It wasn't Lincoln I was thinking of, but it was another president. It got McKinley? Shot. They were just digging in there, and he got, of course, infected and suffered for weeks before he finally passed away.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should stick a probe in Donald Trump's head and probe around. All right, we're not going to get political on this.
No politics.
Wouldn't help.
Pew, pew. Media Corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here. Videos and Media things. Corner.
All right. Who wants to have some fun with this one?
Me.
I like recycling as much as the next man, but this takes it to a whole new level. Go, Craig.
Yeah, it's always the most embarrassing part of a fallen regime. All of the statues no longer relevant, and usually they come down, hence the severed head of Vladimir Lenin recently unearthed in Berlin. But what do all of these Lenins still,
Lenins?
What do you do with all these Lenins that are still standing around?
John Lennon, Julian Lennon.
I don't think Julian's got a statue.
He does somewhere.
Yeah, but you know, you should turn them into a likeness of a more benevolent
leader, of course. Yes.
Yeah. So that's what happened in Odessa, Ukraine, where local artist Alexander Milov managed to turn the statue of a Soviet leader into a post-surgery Anakin. Surgery.
Basically into Darth Vader.
Right. Darth Vader. Yeah. But yeah, it actually looks pretty good. I like it. I
think it's my favorite. He's got Wi-Fi.
What?
The statue's got Wi-Fi.
He's got Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you talking about?
He's got
a Wi-Fi hotspot.
It's a Wi-Fi hotspot?
Oh, yes.
Really?
So it is.
Oh, that's amazing.
They went all out on this thing. I think it's great.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
The Empire? Is that what?
Yeah, there you go. I don't have the Darth Vader thing.
Oh, Imperial March.
There it is.
It's up there. Imperial March. He was looking for the music.
Oh.
We'll get sued by Lucas.
Disney Lucas. If this gets marked for that little rendition, we're all screwed.
That's pretty impressive.
If they can recognize that bad rendition. Isn't that cool?
That is very impressive.
That's almost as much fun as what? Was it the Romanian town or Transylvanian town that had the robot statue, took it down to put up a dinosaur?
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to put a statue of Darth Vader in the front yard. I'm sure the homeowners won't have any problem with that.
No, not at all.
Especially if you make it a Wi-Fi hotspot. I mean, that's just freaking cool.
I'm doing this for the better of the neighborhood.
You know, all the teenage girls gathered around your front lawn.
Wait.
Say that again? I'm just kidding.
I don't have my What the Chuck clip in here anymore. Where'd it go? Oh, Craig, we're going to have to revamp our audio clips here. All right, I do have a What the Chuck. I found an article that just didn't go anywhere else but here.
Nowhere, by the way.
And you can get it just from the title. This environmentally friendly bathing suit cleans polluted water as you swim. Who the heck wants to swim in polluted water? Hey, honey, I got this new bikini. What do you say we go out in the Gulf of Mexico where the New Horizons probe Deep Horizons blew up. And
not only that, but why do you want to absorb those chemicals and keep them close to your skin? Especially in your
nether regions. Yeah. For crying out loud.
In her melons.
Well, not even that. I mean, I really don't need a toxic waste dump down there. Thanks, guys.
That's why I brought this up.
It's because it's already there, right, Michael?
Wow, that's pretty bad.
And the doctor checks you out and says, well, how did this happen?
You've got a lot of DDT and atrazine in your...
Warning!
Hey, I lost the language.
I was picking my words carefully.
Well, I'm wondering, what's the material?
Hemp? What is it?
Old diaper? I don't know.
You know what?
Hemp will absorb anything.
That's the most ridiculous thing ever, and I think we need to just move on. We don't need to give that any more press than it's already got.
Something cool that does get some press,
though.
Holy
crap!
Yeah.
It's a Nerf railgun.
It's not Nerf. It's a real railgun.
Oh, a real one.
Christmas. A 3D printed one.
Go ahead. From a 3D printer. Go ahead, Craig. You can have this one. It's all the fun.
An ambitious maker has built a partly 3D printed railgun that can fire aluminum or graphite projectiles over 250
meters. Holy crap. That'll take out some people at the office.
Yeah. No, this isn't the Quake gun, but it's not janky. It's all plastic. What do you say? It's no janky all plastic gun either. The handheld weapon houses 6 capacitors that weigh 20 pounds and deliver over 1,800 joules.
Jiminy crime in Italy.
My God.
And guess what? It indeed works, just like an oversized railgun. Using parallel electrodes to fire an armature bullet. Armature?
Yeah, armature bullet, yeah. It has to be.
The creator, David Worth, added an Arduino Uno, R3, to monitor charging levels, temperature, and other factors, and tweaked the rails after he noticed a plasma discharge.
A little plasma damage?
Holy crap.
The video, I think, is kind of impressive. I watched it, and I would love to have
I saw
one.
A big spark, but I didn't see any damage to the target.
It was a little
in
bit.
In both videos. It just kind of goes...
Well, it would be just a... Because, I mean, basically what it's doing is... What you're doing is you're building... You're taking a electric motor, and you're stretching it out into a line. And then the armature that normally spins in the center becomes a projectile that just basically fires down the electromagnets that surround it. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing. So basically, you're doing exactly like what you see at the rides. You know, the roller coaster rides
the
magnetic accelerators. It's exactly what it is. It's a magnetic accelerator. You create the right projectile to that. You put enough energy to that, and that thing becomes seriously, seriously cool and deadly really fast.
Cool and deadly.
Yes.
Pew, pew. It's cool only if it ain't pointing at you.
Yeah. Well, it's really cool if some development and experimentation on that could turn that into something really pretty extreme really fast.
I'm surprised he's not getting, you know, stopped by the police for a license on such a weapon.
Wait, you can carry that thing around?
We're in America. What are you talking about?
Not every weapon is legal to just go make.
I'm sure there are people that have freaking air-to-ground missiles in freaking storage somewhere.
There's a big debate going on. Brother. There's a big debate going on right now about 3D printed guns. Mm-hmm. You know that shoot regular ammo. So
they're circumventing the gun vendors. So I'm sure they have a real problem with that. You can't sell them.
Yeah, I mean, he's not just walking into a CVS and asking, holding them up with this thing either.
Well, you could. This is just as deadly as anything else.
I mean, give me all of your money and your clothes.
Yeah, you're not sticking that in your pants.
And we're back to the 14-year-olds.
That's really not something. That's really something you want hanging out. You don't really want to keep that concealed.
Is that a real gun in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
Yeah, it is. I think we'll end the show on that note.
My answer is yes.
The question of the week is:
I've got
a
real rail for you, baby.
Question of the week.
Run you out of town on a rail.
Are we done yet?
No, never on this one.
Rails and things.
Rails and things.
Okay.
Our question of the week. question of the week this week is musical broccoli, as I like to call it. We're going to go off of the sci-fi theme and whatnot. Donna and I were listening to the radio as I brought her to the airport this morning and thought, wow, I used to hate this song when I was a kid, but you know, it's kind of grown on me. So I want to know, what song, band, singer, song did you intensely dislike as a kid?
And now talking hits.
As an enjoy, you kind of go, this is all right. Think
about as the music gets worse and worse as we get older.
There's less to choose from.
That we keep going back and going, okay, there's got to be some nugget that I passed over back when I in the 70s that's still worth a shit.
Well, I got to think about it. Anything that I actually hated back then. That's a tough
one. Well, country music, see, and I'm still hate country
music.
Hey,
there was stuff like
right now. I'll tell you right now.
More now.
I hate the Talking Heads.
I love the Talking Heads. They're my favorite band ever.
The song I hate most is "Take Me to the River" from the Talking Heads.
Oh, I love that song.
It sucks. No, not from them. That sucks, man.
Oh no,
you can agree with me.
No,
I'm just kidding.
When you mean you didn't like it when you were younger, and now you like it?
No. I'm sorry, I still don't like it.
I'm looking for something that you transform. This is like broccoli. When you were a kid, you hated it, and now you eat it and
See, broccoli, that's a bad comparison.
Well, okay, whether it's broccoli, Brussels sprouts, spinach, pick your food that you didn't like when you were a kid.
See, I didn't like Brussels sprouts then or now.
I don't either, but there's I have warmed up to broccoli.
You guys are crazy.
You're getting wound around the axle on this, Craig. It's not the metaphor, it's the topic.
It's the topic. Okay, yes.
Was that the
banana split?
Yeah, banana split.
Maybe you didn't like bananas when you were a kid.
There you go. See, you get us back on topic.
I don't know. I'm sticking with my Talking Heads.
No, find something.
Yeah, but you have to like them now.
You have to like them now. You have to.
No, I do not.
Go listen.
Yes, you do. That's the
game. Yes, you do.
I'm not talking about the Talking Heads specifically. Find a band or something you didn't like before, like the Doors or Hendrix or Bill Withers. Who was the?
That was Bill Withers.
Yeah, Bill. You know,
Depeche Mode.
There we go.
Right, exactly. Violent Femmes. Couldn't stand them in college. Now I hear them like, hey, this ain't so bad. You know,
well, for something that transformed, I got to think about it because I have no idea.
Yeah,
because I still hate the Talking Heads.
You will find that in the next week. You're going to go,
John Stamos.
That's one.
No.
John Stamos.
John Stamos.
Like John Stamos. I hated
John Stamos, and now I just love him. He's just a genius.
Who's the Miami Vice guy that had the song?
Oh,
that's
God.
Don Johnson.
That one's never coming onto my list.
Bruno.
We're going to take it out there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you want to get in touch with us, tell us your musical broccoli. 206-222-CHAT.
I love
206-222-224. It's not the metaphor.
And Brussels sprouts are awesome. You guys are crazy.
Hey, that's just more for you to eat, buddy.
I'll take them.
We're going back to the ray guns and things.
Raisin things.
Now raisins.
Or email us, techdorama@chuckchat.com. Drop a note on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you there. If you can't find any of that stuff, just go over to chuckchat.com. Click on Technorama. You can find us and many more raisin things there.
Distressed grapes.
Until next time, give me a binary high five, please.
101.
Thank you.
Talking Heads still suck.
I need some wine.
Talking Heads suck.